combination.
Yeah, the combination, the key. They had their sets of symbols. They did, and if you look it through their history, you'll see lots of your symbols in their symbols. Or maybe it's their symbols in your symbols. Or maybe it gets really interesting after a second.
Okay, that's a question from the last 24 hours.
Yes.
These symbols that we have are our symbols. Other people have other symbols. Is there original given symbols, or there's all sets of them that were made by human creators as they made up things to activate their portaling because they weren't a balloon boy?
Yes, 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 yes.
So
Now, let's just be easy. One of the major ones that they embrace, as far as the set points, is this Star of David and the pyramid and the capstone and everything relegating out to 33-ism.
Right.
Right.
What is the 33? Emanating out of 33? Is that something you told Carolyn? I don't know what that is.
33rd degree.
Oh, the 33rd degree on a geometry or whatever you call it.
No, Masons, Freemasons.
Yeah, 33rd degree of a square. Rectangle.
No, Bob.
Oh, okay. You mean the development, the initiation. Oh, okay. Everything emanating out to 30. What was the noun subject of that sentence then? So they had everything emanating up to the 33rd degree.
Everything is 33. Okay. Go to. If you want to, we'll go back in a minute, but let's just clean this up. Okay. You have the Freemason temple in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It has 33 columns.
I see.
They are 33 feet tall.
Right.
The whole perimeter is blocked off in 33 degree angles.
Now,
all of Washington, D.C.
Is blocked off at 33 degree angles.
Every angle of a street in Washington, D.C. is at a 33 degree angle.
From
everyone.
From what?
Itself.
Okay.
If you turn, you're going to turn at a 33 degree angle.
Okay. We could say, well, why were they so obsessed, OCD and 33? Well, there are different. Let me say this, because they knew the importance of 33rd degree, latitude, and things like that.
No.
So, yeah, where did the 33 come from? Why?
It came from the degree. It was the degree of ascension into their God status.
Right. They invented that level of schooling, classes, grades.
Well, no. Here's the way it works. The deists that were Freemasons that began this country, not as a Christian nation, but as an independent, where you could be whatever you wanted to be.
Yeah.
They didn't just read the Bible. They read ancient Egyptian. They went way, way, way back.
Right. They read everything. Did they know about the Emerald Tablets?
They most absolutely did, and the references even through the Emerald Tablets of the 33.
Okay.
And here's how they came back to the play. They took the human meat sack body, and they gave it an amount of 33.
They gave it an amount of 33?
Yep, and then they had a non-physical, the deist, acknowledging there was a higher power.
Yeah.
They gave it a number of 33.
Okay.
Then they had this thing hooked on the top of their head, just above the thalamus.
Yeah.
And then they noticed that they gave it a number of 33.
So 3 33s, three uses of the number 33.
That is correct. And they gave it, and then they left that, the 33rd degree is as high as you can go. And it always left that 1% because the best you're going to get is 99.
It always left what at 1%?
If you take 33,
oh yeah, 99.
Add 3, you get 99, which leaves 1.
You never get it done.
But the 1 would be a unifier of the masonry. Okay, in your spinal cord, guess how many pieces you have?
33?
You do.
Ah.
In the top of the Washington Monument, the capstone of the Washington Monument, there's one capstone on the Washington Monument. You know, that's the great big sphere, the obelisk. Yeah. The great megapolis in the middle of Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
The capstone, guess how much it weighs?
33 tons.
3,300 pounds.
Right, and that's something on top of the... There's the point on the obelisk at the top, right?
That's the capstone, yeah.
Oh, the point is. Okay, all right, good.
That's the capstone. Like a pyramid, remember?
Yeah, right.
Okay, now you have a pyramid on a dollar bill. And the capstone is missing.
Right.
And it's replaced with the all-seeing eye.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's one of Carolyn's symbols at 12 o'clock on the inside step.
Right.
You start ringing. See, it's almost like we've sent a ringer in. It's starting to come together here, and it keeps replicating itself.
Yeah, wait, where on the chart I'm looking at is this eye? What o'clock?
12.
12 at the top. It's just a round circle. A round circle, right?
No, it's an eyeball.
Well, y'all can be an eye.
You're the one that said it was an eyeball. We didn't.
I don't know if I did, but the point is that it's like
it's
a pupil.
Like an eye.
Yeah, okay.
Well, a pupil is an eye.
Gotcha. So I got it. I got it.
Good. All right. So now, this is what we were trying to do last night, but we couldn't get this far because we had to get the groundwork laid.
Yeah.
So, but
well, when you say we had to get the groundwork laid, you were trying to get there. No, we weren't trying to do it last night. We were trying to get the groundwork laid.
Well, that's what we just said.
It implies that we could have got there if somebody wasn't silly last night.
No, we were trying to say, when we discussed it earlier, it's like, well, there's a lot of information, and let's get all we can get. And then if you have questions, we'll answer them. But don't send us way, way far out, because it's just going to put you further away from getting the information that you're busting a nut to get.
And we didn't get there. We failed.
We failed in
that mission last night. We didn't get there.
And we are now.
Right.
And we are now. Because, see, if we hadn't got all that done last night, the stuff we're telling you now wouldn't have mattered at all. You'd say, whoopee, non-physical has actually calculated that they have stairs in the Library of Congress. Boy, we can rest good tonight.
You're saying I wouldn't have appreciated it last night?
Exactly, because it wouldn't have made any sense.
So what is the background I got that this makes sense?
That a third of the Masons, the Freemasons, a third of the signers of the Constitution were Freemasons.
Yeah.
Okay. And you asked a question about sitting presidents being Masons.
Yeah.
The last 33rd degree president, sitting president, was Gerald Ford.
Right. Okay. Was he a Riff Rider? Was he aware of parallel worlds and believed in them and experienced them?
Well, now, just soft a minute. We'll answer your question. When we pause like that, we have to sit through to see what you're going to do with it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because you know the answer doesn't mean you have to just blurt it out.
Yeah.
You have to raise your hand.
Right.
And we want to just answer the question, but before we answer the question, we're going to ask you a question.
And I'll say this before you ask the question, I'll say this. The reason I asked the question is that in my mind he's a doofus, the way he looked and all that. So that's a public image. Dumped on me, so
yeah, it was created.
Okay, good. Now the question you want to ask me is?
He became president, sitting president of the United States, and he wasn't elected.
Right. That's true.
Well, no, wait, every president has to be elected. Well, not so much.
But what was he? No. He replaced Spiro Agnew, he was vice president. And then and then Nixon got Watergate, so the vice president becomes president.
There you go. There you go. So you don't have to be elected. And this is that power issue that the 33rd degree achieves. A third of the people who signed the Constitution were Freemasons.
And a third were... Another third were...
No. That's not significant. There were 24, but actually 22 that signed. And that they were all of those, the ring leaders
were seven.
And,
a third of the 22 or 24 were Freemasons.
No, Bob, there were 60 that signed the Constitution. A third were Freemasons.
That's the 22 or so.
But it was 24, but those two didn't get a chance to sign. So it was only 22 that signed.
It's 22 Freemasons signed the, of the 60, signed the Declaration.
Correct.
Right.
Now, we're just getting started. So
right.
This gets to be way voluminous, and that's why we knew, and that's why we had to give it a day or so to let you start playing with it so you could get to it, and we thought, we'll just do a real long session and you'll get it.
Right.
But we had to go further, and it actually got a little deeper. Okay, now we're getting some fun.
Yeah. You liked the way it went last night.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly, because it was actually point on.
Yeah. I had a lengthy question that I had before.
Good, that's what we want to answer.
Yeah, who's in charge of the, did the Freemason guys that knew the John Quincy Adams compilations, they were passed on among Freemasons or inside people up to today, right? They wouldn't be lost, these things.
Never.
They're kept specially. And I think did you say they were buried in the crypt for a while? That's how we got
it? They are now.
Right, and would the Freemasons have done that?
They're who laid the foundation.
Right, so John Quincy Adams' materials are still in the possession of the Freemasons.
They are.
The enlightened Freemasons, you know, the special Freemasons, because there's a lot of Freemasonry groups around the United States that they're just service committees, aren't they?
Well, they jokingly call it, they say if you're interested in the Freemasons, then get ready for lots of donut bake sales and donut rallies, and they're a fraternal organization. They have the Crippled Children's Hospital. They raise tons of money to help, like, when children need help.
No, I got all that. So that is, those guys who do that, are they Rift Riders and Initiated 33 Degrees? Do they know all this stuff?
Different lodges are different, Bob.
Okay. Depending on the leaders and the connection.
And their interest.
Right.
What they give their undivided attention regarding.
Right. Okay.
So now we're getting down to it. Now, the Masons aren't the story here. The symbols are the story.
Okay.
The Masons just the easiest way for it to show up. It's the largest secretarian manifested reality of what you can have once you get access and know what they are to these symbols.
Right. Now, that's the next question. And you meant secretarian. You meant sectarian. Largest sectarian is what the word is. One is always making one different groups can make symbols that become their catalysts. It means any symbol can be. I don't know what the special ones are and what made them special.
Depending on how you describe them and as you imbue them with power. What made the Ark of the Covenant special?
It was imbued with power.
Same thing. And it was a symbol to all of Judea of that they had the power of God.
Right, so there are symbols done millennia ago, the first ones imbued by the
now,
first...
Right now, yes, and guess what? Those symbols haven't changed, and some of those are the same ones that your Freemasonry holds dear
right to
this moment.
How many of those dear ones are on our chart at this point?
Seven.
Right, and we've got some others that they don't have that are dear.
They have some you don't have.
They're all equal in charisma or imbuement.
No, and then we can prove that because let's say you called your buddy Steve.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, we figured it all out now, and here are the symbols, and if you dumb son of a bitch, if you'll look at these symbols, it'll get wavy like when you used to smoke dope when you didn't want your mama to know it, and when you go out bee farting all over the place trying to figure out how to get there from now, and here you stupid bastard, this is how it is, and you can't get it, you never would get it, because you wouldn't have it, so here it is, here's your sign, Steve, here's the magic of all the worlds, And, oh, and by the way, we're going to send you the Ark of the Covenant so your damn ass will be able to walk and eat chips when you want to. So we're going to do this just out of the kindness of our heart because we love and appreciate you so much. Would those symbols have a meaning for him?
No.
Would they move heaven and earth for him?
No.
Would they have any power or imbued consideration of being significant to anything?
No.
Very good. There's the proof in your pudding. Of?
Proof
of. Are the symbols the same? Do they have the same power? Are they equally imbued? And the answer is no. Because if they're all equal and they're all magically imbued, you wave this in front of somebody's face and they slip into another world.
Well, you have to get them in an oral context almost, the oral tradition. You have to be in an environment, a receptive.
Now, that's the way the 33rd degree Masons see it to this day. They don't write it down.
Yeah, it's oral.
They consider it oral or Oriole. Oriole, isn't that a baseball team?
Yep, wait. Baltimore. Or the Oreo cookie.
That's Oreo. That's
I know,
right.
I know.
But now, Oriole, we didn't mess the word up. That's what we're trying to say.
No, it's oral.
No, it's not. It's Oriole.
For Baltimore?
No, Bob. For the Masons.
Their word for the oral tradition is called the Oriole tradition.
No, the Oriole means something a little different than what you're calling oral of the mouth.
The Oriole, which is a bird, means something different to somebody.
That is correct to the Masons.
The word Oriole refers to something different.
Very good. And we're not here to undo Freemasonry,
right.
So you have something to cackle about.
Yeah, I know, guys.
But we will point out significant, interesting, potential candor that might help you in your journey of asking, answering, and understanding.
Right.
So just file it away, signifies nothing, but one day next September, you'll bump into this recording and you kind of go, oh, yeah, he did say something about that. I wasn't listening, I didn't know, I didn't care, I couldn't get that from now, but bless God I'm here now.
Yeah,
I'm real glad to have this information.
Right, and that is around the word Oriole or some other stuff you've said already or are going to say on this tape.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Good. All right, now let's move on. We got you greased up now, Bob. We can get some stuff done here.
Okay.
The vertebrae.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of connecting. It keeps showing up. But now, wait now. The Masons, now we're spending a lot of time on the Masons, but that's not what this is about.
Mm.
It's just a good parallel so that you can embrace it yourself.
Question, were there more than one Freemason like Gerald Ford on the Warren Commission for the JFK assassination?
Yes.
Yeah, Gerald Ford was known as the congressional liaison with the CIA, which means he was a special representative, and he related to the Information Society guys who controlled the big patterns, and that was code for he was part of the Freemason network, the inner elite.
But not Skull and Crossbones.
That's another group. That's the Skull and Bones, you mean, the Bush gang.
No, they're
someone else.
They are, Bob, but they're not.
Yeah.
They link themselves back to the Templars, to Solomon, they link all themselves back into this magic place with the symbols.
Right. Now, that brings up another point. Mark Solomon, the guy I did the party with, the guy who claims to be AOL online and all that stuff, who brought them, he did discover this group, this hospitaller, maybe, group. And I think the name is St. Anthony's.
Yes.
And they're in order. The Catholic,
yes, they are.
That goes back to in the Middle Ages. They were the doctors, the priests, for people when they got ergot poisoning or ergo poisoning. And Mark had this theory that the Vatican understood LSD before it was made because the hospital or the St. Anthony Order were the priests who dealt with all that. And he found the St. Anthony Order in New York City five, 8 years ago. He discovered them. Nobody knew much about them. And he's trying to research that.
Would you like to know where to find it?
Yeah, I'm not going to give it to him right off, but he would
have to... you don't have to give it to him ever.
Right.
But it's called the Noelist.
How do you spell that?
N-O-E-L-I-S-T.
And the Noelist is a newspaper or magazine?
Mm-hmm. It's a order.
Oh, okay. And so he intuited...
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. That's weird.
The door shut?
No. The computer just started spitting out pictures from the temple.
Of what? Solomon's temple?
No. The temple. No, Masonic temple.
Like something you'd find in Wikipedia or something.
No.
It just manifested on the screen.
No, he has extensive photography in the screensaver on his laptop. There's probably 100,000 photos in the screensaver, kind of rolls through those pictures.
So the timing was the temple image showed up right at that point.
Correct. And there's a symbol.
Okay. All right, we're coming back, Ina. So the Noelist, are they the real name of the Anthony Order or something?
No. They're located in a couple of places, but the big place, I think we've got the geography right. In Sacramento.
And these would be Catholics?
No.
Hmm.
They are a scientific order that has the active practice of proving that the mind can move, change, affect matter.
Hmm.
And antimatter. They're proving it, and they're proving it scientifically.
The scientists, they are scientists, and they're doing that.
Yes.
The North.
Look it up and see what they say. The chip body. Hey, the chip body gets it before they're doing it, so hey, it ought to know.
How does the chip body get it before they're doing it?
Damned if we know.
But what do you mean, the chip body knows this truth?
No, Bob, yes, it should, but that's why we joke about it. We'll have a session about something, and then 2 days later, it shows up, and they're giving all the details and everything about it. And then we joke about that it won't be but another span of time before the chip body will announce the earthquake and how many died and how what was destroyed, and it do two-day announce it 2 days before the thing actually takes place.
Okay, so that's the Android meme coming alive, technology coming alive and imitating us, meeting us, interacting with us.
And it's trying to do it without us.
Yes, without human beings, without the chemical
body. Chemical body.
Yeah. Very good.
We're saying the words at the same time. Now, does that mean you corral non-physical or has non-physical kind of lined up with you?
Well, I know when we get on... Eshlow, and after a while, people are noticing that Ion knows to get Bob's four bodies. They're gonna say, "Bob, it's a hoax doll. This is a hoax. Bob's got the guff talking his language. This is preposterous." So it'll be fun to create that effect. Privately, yes. Did I corral Ion? I wonder sometimes. Since you get it all from me, but it makes you a pretty good unique medium using that language. The other mediums on Achieve Radio don't know that.
Well, Well, they're still trying to find out if the people that are dead love them.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They're still trying to find out how they have to hold their mouth to catch a man. They're trying to figure out if they're ever going to be happy. They're trying to wonder if it's a possibility that they could be well, healthy, and sojourn themselves into the ethers where all is peace, joy, love, and light. That there is contrast that wafts and wanes in the ether. And if they've really lined up and paid handsomely, that these smalls and mediums can pick up on their energies and tell them just to follow the love and come into this happy place and don't eat kumquats and swim in the ocean because it will give you indigestion, you know.
Yeah.
And that's okay, Bob, because guess what? The reason that is because that's where they are.
Yeah, that sounds like a small M man engaging in mediumship.
That's correct, because if you gave them the full Monty, they would be offended.
Yeah.
They wouldn't notice the anatomy. They would be offended that they were exposed.
Right.
There you go. Perfect way to describe it. Now,
okay, here it is. Hospital Brothers of St. Anthony. That's got to be it.
Okay.
Order of St. Anthony or Canons Regular of St. Anthony of Vienna were a Roman Catholic congregation founded in 1095 with the purpose of caring for those suffering from the common medieval disease of St. Anthony's Fire. That's it. Now, Mark found these guys having a place in New York. He puts great secret significance into them. Are they worth
it? All right.
Are they worth
it? So he's imbuing it then, is he not?
Yes, he thinks that they're proof the Vatican understood LSD before LSD showed up.
Well,
by their expertise in ergo. So that's a silly. That's, I don't want to go into it if it's nothing worth pursuing. It's just a crazy notion and no history.
Well, now we've pretty well established there's no such thing as crazy notion,
right,
Bob. But the question then becomes then, whether or not you want to embrace it or not. Because, see, we can have this conversation and let you find a man like they do on Achieve Radio, too. But you're beyond that, you see.
Mm.
See, because once you get beyond it, then you're beyond it. So it doesn't, you know, that's not important. But that doesn't mean that their question is less than. It just means that you've come to a different place.
Mm. Mark, but I think he noticed that some of the founders of the Order of the Golden Dawn, the Madame Blavatsky gang, were members of St. Anthony. So he thought that was significant. They were prominent members of the American establishment, and they were up to no good.
How long has it been since you've had chocolate?
3 or 4 days.
Wow.
I was hoping to have some tonight, but Carol didn't make any.
Well, guess what? JW is digging, and he has this fabulous French silk homemade chocolate.
Mm.
And he's not a big fan of chocolate that way, but he's just been about to bust for some. And that's why we wanted to ask if you had been depraved, which caused his seemingly unquenchable desire regarding it.
Yeah, that's a good live example of him picking me up, because half an hour ago I went downstairs. Like, I'd asked Carol, you might have heard me. I said, you going to make any chocolate? And she said, yep. Well, she didn't get around to it. So I went down to see if there's any none there, and I like it, and we didn't get it. It's not really chocolate, it's coca, you know, Carico, or whatever the original stuff's called.
That is what chocolate is.
Yeah. So,
cacao.
Yeah.
Cacao.
So we didn't get any, and I can live without it, but there probably is a bit of hankering, and that's what I am.
There is, and that's what caused it, so he had to go get a bowl. And luckily, it's a quiet food, so it's not like when you start wanting the munchy things.
Mm.
JW gets in.
So he's eating it right now.
Right this red hot minute second.
So when JW is sensitive in this trance thing, he's tuning into my non-physical?
And my non-physical
yes.
registers this?
Yes. Mm. And not only does he register it, it's always there.
What is always there? The
whatever it is he wants.
No, the... Okay, my wantings in my non-physical?
Apparently.
And now we...
Act- here's how it gets interesting. Let's say you had the hankering for chocolate.
Mm.
Okay? And you didn't have any. And that becomes a something divisible by your desire. Well, then that shows up for us. And then once we pick it up, then in his world, he desires it as well. But when he desires it, then guess what? He doesn't have to desire it because it's already in the refrigerator. Meaning, this wonderful chocolate pudding thingy jumped in the refrigerator and it was not there today.
Right, it just manifested.
And it's wonderful and it's fabulous and it's great. And it, you don't have to wait. It just
when we're interacting with Ion, our non-physicals, JW, mine, and Carol, are more entangled, more sensitive to each other?
No. What we do is we pick up on your non-physical, any desire that you have in your physical body. Non-physical gets a hold of it and says, Bob, your wish is my command.
Mm.
Well, we are non-physical. So for us, that's the same as ordering it for JW. Because he didn't desire chocolate. It wasn't even something he can have chocolate all day, every day. It's always about. But it wasn't. Or, well, I mean, it was. I mean, we even have the fudge Snicker bar thing that we're going to, we will get the, he gets his camera thing due and he was going to show you the new fudge Snicker.
Okay.
See, the point is that showed up already. It's there. And he doesn't even care for Snicker bars.
Okay, Ion's saying that Ion can pick up my non-physical because we're engaging with Ion and JW manifests it. He gets infected by what Ion picked up for me.
He feels it. He feels it because he's quite the feeler.
Mm.
He feels it. He knows when it's crossed. He knows when it's flowing good. He knows when you get it. He knows. He feels the physical side in a physical body.
Okay, so another person channeling Ion would not necessarily feel the way JW does, because they're a different person.
We don't know.
Okay.
We certainly couldn't speak to that.
All right.
Because it's, but he's very sensitive to the feeling place. See,
all right.
If you get unhappy, we don't care. Piss off, Bob. You'll figure it out or not. We don't care. It's good. God bless you, married gentleman.
Mm.
You know, hey. But it sends JW right up a tree.
Okay, we know all that. Let's get back to the Nolus or...
That's what you asked.
I asked about what? That's what...
The feeling place.
Yeah, I know that.
You know it all, so if you know it, then don't ask. You're good.
I know about JW's sensitivity, but I was interested in the dynamic of interacting with non-physical, with Ion, to
good.
Its non-physical.
Now, let's flip this over. Before you get right there, this is an interesting point, because it'll actually, it fits into what you're fixing to ask, which is significant. Now, if JW feels and interacts with non-physical, and you summon non-physical and you're interacting, why then could you not feel and have the soothing place of JW eating the chocolate and being very, very comforted with the deliciousness that it is, and have that experience in your non-physical that would soothe your physical craving for the sweet chocolateness?
That could happen, I guess.
Why can't the door swing both ways?
Yeah.
It'd be way fun.
Right.
But it actually does. If it doesn't get crossways of your mind.
Yeah, if I was hungry but had no money, I'd get someone else to eat, some who could afford to eat the steak, and I'd feel it. Right.
And could you certainly could, but you'd you have to take it the way you do everything in your threeing. Because if you've got to take that all the way down to the one stage, you're not going to have it, because you're like, well, that's about as much as, that's like sex. If I can get somebody else to have sex, I can enjoy it. Well, now wait, see, you get all crossways of that. Do it the way you do everything else, with just threeing it. And then you're spot on. But we would never say that to another asker.
Mm.
It's only because we're well aware of how you three it, and then no, that ain't gonna happen.
That ain't
you can't
gonna
get
happen.
There. Oh, you can't get there. That's just craziness. I don't know. Even non-physical can't swallow that one. That you can't get there. And then it shows up. So because of that, we know that about you. We can answer that effectively and affirmatively that way, engage it and solve it.
Go ahead.
But not for everybody else.
Right. No, Carolyn has always said, as soon as I say something, Bob, you go, no, let's do this, no. Okay, she should now, I have to point this out to her, that's Bob threeing it. It means yes, that's his way of getting it. I go, no. And when she would often know, she'd say, let's do this, and I'd say, no. And then the next day, we'll walk around and we're doing it. And she said, I thought you said no. I said, no, I don't know, just doing it. I just say no at the beginning. But so now
well,
I know that by knowing.
Instead of saying no for her, to soften it a bit, and she says, let's do something. And you say, well, I think I'll just relax and allow.
Say that rather than no.
And the reason is because then that would catch her off guard, and she was like, what? You're supposed to say no. You always say no. It would not be saying yes. No, and then you say, well, I won't say, you don't like it when I say no, so I'll just say I'll relax and allow until you get it all worked out, and then I'll enjoy it.
Mm.
And it'll be good.
No, I never thought. That's what I've been doing. I always say no, and then I usually end up doing it. But that's the threeing. That's what you're talking about. I go, nah, that ain't going to happen. Well, you want to go to Bali, that ain't going to happen. We're not leaving New York. There's nowhere else to go. 2 months
right.
Later, Bob's living in Maui.
That's right.
Okay. So the Noelists relate to the St. Anthony Order. They pushed against
it. No. No, they're not part of it. But when you say relate, you're trying to hook them together. And no, they're not together.
Well, they reacted to the St. Anthony. You said that the Noelists pushed against the St. Anthony Order.
Whoa, when did we say that?
I thought it was about 10 minutes ago, but anyways, don't worry about
it. No. They stem off each other, but they're actually more keen with, it's a science, Bob, a Noelist science.
Mm.
A Noelist science.
Okay.
And they're proving the mind, which is what you're, now this is where it does relate. It comes back to your cryptic people of St. Anthony trying to create wellness, wholeness in the human physical body.
Mm.
Well, that's done through the mind. And that's what the Noelist science is all about as well.
Right. Now, the St. Anthony Order that Mark stumbled on, he visited their place in New York City. Are they some secret Freemasonic kind of influential zone?
Nope.
They're not that influential, okay.
Nope.
Okay.
They follow the symbols. They are aware of the processes. They hold certain truths to be self-evident. But if you remember, if you've been listening to us for a little while, and you have,
mm-hmm.
Most everyone can do that, you say. You don't have to be a 32nd and a half, or 34 and a fourth, or 33 degreed Mason to figure it out. Is it?
To figure out these simple things that we're going to do.
That there are parallel worlds, and there are mysteries that your mind cannot embrace, and there are a particulate, and there's matter. Okay, now, boy, Bob, Dobbs, you just beat everything.
You treat it again.
We were not going here, but you will not stop, so we will have to engage and proceed.
Very good.
Now, where last night you felt you were a little behind yourself, and tonight's a catch-up, getting even more and more and more, now you're going to go ahead of yourself.
Okay.
Here's the deal. You, Bob, because the way you do your stuff, okay, have come to the place where we said something a bit ago that is just really sopping you up pretty good about with the symbols and the activating of the mind that can control matter.
Right.
And therefore, then, you've been exposed to something called antimatter. So if the mind controls matter, then it also controls antimatter.
Okay.
The symbols that you've collected and are collecting would be the upside-down version of matter, which would not be antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little stretch, but you can embrace that easily. So if you've got the clock face upside down, then you turn it right side up, and then you land on your feet.
Right.
Okay. So if that be the case, then you get very easy into a nice place of going, okay. So if the problem or the dynamic of the mind affects matter, and we know about also antimatter, then we can affect antimatter, which actually has a breed process of allowing antimatter to be converted and changed or created, if you will, because we're just trying to soften the words, but you know what we mean,
mm-hmm.
that you can take antimatter and make it matter.
Mm.
And the answer to your question is yes, that is exactly how it is.
So is the parallel world antimatter?
No.
No.
But getting there is.
Mm. The means to getting there is antimatter.
The corridor.
The rift, the rift zone. The rift
no,
zone.
No, don't use that because that gets it confusing.
Okay.
Because we don't want to make it hard. See, the whole point of this is to make it easy. So we want to soften it. James described it as corridors.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. So if we say corridor, okay, it's the hallway, you know, when you go upstairs and
yeah.
you got one end is the office-y thing and the other end is the bedroom?
Yeah.
Is the hallway the bedroom?
No.
Okay, but can you get to that other bedroom without entering the hallway?
No.
Okay, well, you could climb out the window and go over the roof and swing in like a monkey or something.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to navigate it by avoiding the hall.
Right.
By avoiding the corridor.
Yes.
By avoiding the portal.
Right.
You may be able to do that, but it sure seems like a lot of bother, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
And you might get
so
hurt.
We're not saying that it's impossible. We're
right.
just saying that it seems much easier just to enter the doorway, walk down the hall, and be in the bedroom.
Mm.
And once you're able to do that in your mind, guess what? If you have full faculties of your mind, well, you might even do it subconsciously sometimes, but within your mind, you remember, okay, I'm upstairs, I'm in the bedroom. Now, food normally is downstairs. Now, let me see, how can I get back? Oh, God, I didn't get my symbols. Oh, no. I left my symbols on the other table. And here I am in the bedroom. I'm stuck. Oh, God, now I've got it. Thanks, Ion. You drug us off into this parallel bedroom, and I want food, and I can't get to the portal. And I got to the portal, I'm at the hallway, and I just keep running back and forth up and down the hallway, and I can't get to the food. Oh, no, I didn't get the directions. I don't know where I am, so I don't know how to get back from there. The food is downstairs, but I don't know where the stairs are. I got to the portal, but I can't get to the next step, the next layer. So what do I do? Great. I'd have been better off just staying downstairs to start with until she laid out some more food that I could eat. When we say that like that, it sounds silly, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Once you experience it, then all of a sudden you go, well, this is kind of simple. Even though the light's off, I can find my way to the door of the bedroom. I don't have to turn on all the lights on. I can walk down the hall. I can turn there. look at there. There's a hole. There's a hole in the floor. Carolyn, do we use this hole in the floor? Yes, Bob, we use this hole in the floor. You're kidding. How long has this been here? Well, it was here when we moved in. It was here before we moved in. Well, I said I created that. And I was joking because I didn't know how I created something before. It was in my experience. And she says, Bob, everything that is in your experience was created before you got it, because if it wasn't created before you got it, you wouldn't have it. And you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Now, what are you talking about? This, no. I mean, relax and allow about this now. You mean that this home in this house allows me to go down these steps to get down to where the food is? Yes, Bob. Wow. So I can just go up and down these steps anytime I want to? Yes, you certainly can. Well, do we do that, Carol? Yes, Bob, we go up and down the steps all the time. It even has a handrail to help you if you're feeling feeble so that you can hold on. You can hang on, Bob. We're going downstairs. We're going to get some food. Oh, it's some food. And the desire place is what motivated you to even engage in conversation, the topical application of the corridor, the hallway, the rift, then the up and down process of changing floors, changing levels.
Right.
The desire is what got you to even notice the first time. Because delicious you, Bob, why do I need stairs? I don't need stairs. I'm up here. I'm happy. I am going to go for 18 days. Ain't no big deal. I can go drink out of the toilet if I get really, really thirsty. I'm sure there's a water somewhere else. It'll rain. I can stick my head out the window. I'm not eating anymore, so I'm not getting into this. And this portal business isn't going to get me any of my food, and I don't really need any food anyway. Carolyn, why do we have these steps here? They seem to be in the way. Why there's a hole in the floor. Don't you think we should cover this up? I could put my cooing things on top of the space where that was, and we could just block that off and not even have to be bothered with it. This is more space upstairs than we had in New York, so, hey, why do we need this whole other floor? It just seems kind of silly after a little while that we had somebody cut a great big hole in the floor just so we could not be able to go get food. I can't get chocolate. I can't get dates. I can't have any more sugar. So why don't we just board this staircase up and stay right here? We're good. We can crawl out the window to go to the beach. It's good. We can see where we're going. Now, we say it that way and you kind of go, Ion, come on, sort of simmer down a little bit. That wasn't necessary. But if you actually look at the dynamic of what we're talking about now, it's not that very foreign after about 2.3 seconds, is it?
You mean how you present it is not that foreign?
Correct. In parallel to parallel travel, world travel in parallel dimensions.
Right.
We're trying to get you out of this rift business because you're making it a thing, and the rift is not the thing. The bedroom is the goal. The hallway is what you use to get there. But you don't say, I'm good. Now, Ion, tell us again how to get into the hallway. So he's a hall traveler. Oh, he travels in the hall. Oh, my God, you mean he can go through the hall anytime he wants to? Yes, if he knows how to open the door or get up or down the stairs, he can. But the hall is not important. The answer is Carolyn doesn't say, well, I'm done. I'm getting really tired, so I'm going to the hall now, Bob. She says, no, I'm going to bed, which is where the bed is in the bedroom. She says, I'm going to bed. She doesn't say, okay, I'm kind of tired. It's the end of the day. It's been a nice day. I'm good. Okay, Bob, I'm going over to the hall.
Okay, let's get back to John Quincy. I'm not sure where you're going with this. You're making another point.
We're just softening the thing of getting over the rifting side. Just say where you're going and not how you're going there.
Okay, so where do we say the place we're going to? It's a parallel world. Okay.
Well, now wait. Say where you're going. I'm going to the beach. Well, no, actually, I'm going on the walkway, by the golf course, down to the boardwalk, and then I'm going to turn right, and then I'm going to walk. You don't say that. You say, I'm going to the beach. Well, just say where you're going. I'm going to this world, and say which world it is, and go there.
what are some terms? Can we say Brazil? Or do we say parallel world if we're indicating not this world?
Well, but it's confusing your mind because then you don't know which world you're going to.
So what's a word we could use for saying this?
Describe where you're going.
I would have to, I wouldn't know, but then you've got to know where you're going to get there, I guess, so.
Well, how many places do you show up that you don't know where you are?
I apparently do that a lot when I'm sleeping.
Well, now wait a minute.
Or I guess in general, I'm always doing that.
But you see how we kind of turned that around on you a bit? Once you start noticing where you're going, and that's already started, once you start noticing where you're going, then you'll drop this rift business, you'll drop the corridor, the hallway, and you'll go, well, I'm going to New York Bob World.
Mm.
Or, I had an interesting conversation with somebody from another world. My old world.
Right.
You see? You went to the party with people from the old world.
Yeah.
And you couldn't go there. They had to... Your chip body had to Skype you in.
That's right. Yeah, they knew New York Bob. New York Bob had
that's
to
Skype exactly
in.
Right. And New York Bob was certainly welcome, but Hawaii Bob wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know about that. They just think Hawaii Bob is New York Bob.
Okay. But New York Bob is the one they were wanting to talk to, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they didn't get that.
They didn't have to. They didn't have to.
No, they got Hawaiian Bob, and they enjoyed it, some of them.
But Hawaiian Bob isn't New York Bob.
Right. I think they enjoyed Hawaiian.
But now, wait, you say, right, but now you're saying, no, wait, you're saying that they thought New York Bob and Hawaii Bob were the same. Right?
I guess...
There you go. Good, 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 good. That a boy. You guess. Good. That means it's not a definitive known thing.
Yeah.
So good. Leave that one alone. Leave it good. That's perfectly good. Because then you don't have to sieve it. Figure out where you want to go. Is there a world that you'd like to engage? Let's ask it this way. This will solve it, and this may get you back to your John Adams. Okay? It will, because it's significant, because it's a concept that we're giving you every illicit detail regarding when we need to apply it, so it doesn't, when we give you this, you're going to go, oh, wow, okay, great. Oh, wow, okay, great. Where do you want to go? Do you have a desire to see something, feel something, enjoy something? It can be like James describes. See, James had a desire to go to Peru to lick the asses of them people's gods in them temples.
Right.
And now, where did that desire come from?
Don't know.
Don't know either. He may not have known.
Yeah.
Maybe he did, but he embraced it.
Right.
Followed the path. He aligned it up. Lined it up, 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 vibrational, vibrational, lined it up. He had, was going to a place. He had to take an action after he lined it up, buy a ticket, go there, have a place to be, get up enough coinage to eat or
let's make this a little faster. So he wanted to go there and don't know why he went there. Okay.
But he knew where he wanted to go.
Okay.
Okay? So, if there's a desire for you of where you want to go, then say that. Don't say another world.
Yeah, I don't know.
Say where you want to go.
Well, it's another world. I don't know where to go because I don't know what the another world is. Consciously.
Well, then you're lost.
Yeah, I'm lost. And so...
Okay. So, I want to... Here's an example, and we're not saying for you to do this. We're just going to give you an example. Hey, Bob... Guess where JW wants to go back to? Shangri-La.
Okay, that's something presently he wants.
That's correct. He wants to go back to Shangri-La.
Okay.
Okay. Now that's a place. It's not in this world. He doesn't even give any attention to the world business. He just knows, has a feeling place of where he wants to go. So therefore, he can't. And he drops the oh, how am I going to get to another world? I've got another stuff. I'm working on the book. Oh, Kevin's going to be mad if I don't get another chapter done. I ain't got time to go to Shangri-La. It's another world, for Pete's sake. And I may be gone for a day or so or 5 minutes, but if I'm not doing my part, who's going to get the kids? And I was going to dinner with so-and-so. And gosh, this, if it went another world, I could sort of do it on my way. But see how you can tangle that up a bit? Once you start having a desire of where you want to go, what you want to experience, what you want to do, speak it that way. Okay? I don't want to go to another world. I don't want to find the rift. I don't want to have to wait for the veil, my veil to thin so I can see where I'm going. No, I want to go to the Mayan temple where all this bullshit of 2012 started from. And I want to see those stones and figure that out myself. Okay, I want to go to the temple, the Freemason temple in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the square at the William Penn City Hall on the northwest corner. And I want to go to that place and I want to see those architectural symbols. And I want to see those other symbols, and I want to see the statuary, and I want to see the Michelangelo original pieces of art that they have stowed there. And I want to go to Washington, D.C., to the Freemason Temple. And I want to see those artifacts, and I want to see some of those people and talk to them and ask them questions. Okay?
Okay.
And rather than, okay, I want to go into another world, so you want it faster. So when you have an idea of that would be fun, think that way. Mm. I, Bob, want to go to Tibet.
Okay, gotcha. Is there, we were
doing the cap. You.
Yeah, we're going to the Capitol building. We were doing the library. Did we? Yep. Was there more stuff there to do?
Yes.
Okay, let's pick it up if you know where.
Well, we do know, but you need to. Well, what's your question? See, there we go. You see?
Okay, we'll take a break there. What have we got here? Okay,
all participants are now unmuted.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Nick, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Bert. Don't know where Bob's gone now.
Okay, thanks.
Interesting stuff, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved his analogy of going from the bathroom to, or the bedroom to the kitchen. Go down the stairs and